Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders. Listen as they identify factors that drive innovation and measure significant business results. Be inspired and influenced by their insights and outcomes. Hosted by Fran McNeil, President of Significant Business Results, LLC.
Well, good evening and welcome to Significant Business Results Radio. I'm your host, Fran McNeil, and joining me in the virtual studio all the way from Mexico is Tara Colquitt, the Credit Woman, and her business is called the Credit Woman LLC. Tara, how are you this evening?
I am wonderful, Fran. How are you?
Excellent.
In Philadelphia.
I am doing fine. Yes, just outside of Philadelphia. It's a nice, cool evening, and it is summer. I cannot believe that we have passed that halfway mark, but life continues, and we're going to talk more about that. Situations, life, moving forward, taking action, those are all components of what you're about. So I'd love to introduce you just very briefly to the audience, and then we're going to start our discussion, our conversation. Tara Colquitt, the Credit Woman, assists and educates individuals and business owners in managing credit, money, and debt to create opportunities in real estate, business financing, job creation retention, and overall financial health. Tara has successfully negotiated settlements, helping homeowners qualify for mortgages and business owners qualify for financing. So Tara, quite a track record, now an international track record. Well, I'd love for you to share with the audience. Yes, I'm building you up because I know you. What was sort of that significant kernel that got you on the path to entrepreneurship?
Well, let me be very, very honest. Before I was the Credit Woman, I was a partner with my spouse in business. So let me be very, very clear. I was a worker bee.
Okay.
I went to school and, you know, my background family was go to school, get a good job, and work. And I was definitely on that path until I met my ex-husband. So I have to say, he opened my eyes to business where I had never really been involved in that at all. And unfortunately, when we did separate and eventually divorce, I could not see going back to a 9-to-5 because once you have been successful in business, you're like, oh, wait a minute. This is something that's a little bit more enjoyable for me, at least, than a 9-to-5. Because there are, of course, risks in business. You will not necessarily, you can't count on next pay to be paid. You have to, as my accountant likes to say, you have to go out and kill what you eat. So really,
that's right. I know it
work.
Well.
Yes, right. Yes, you have to do the work. But it comes with so many privileges. And I say a privilege because when you really love what you do, then it doesn't feel like work. That's the other part of it. Like I get up, I'm happy to, you know, help a client. It might take 2-3 hours to work on certain items on a credit report a few times. But once it's done, it's like this person is now on their way. And that's a great feeling. You know, I'm just ecstatic over that, and people share that happiness with you. So I don't know, it's like being a great cook, which I am not. they share a meal. That would be great. It'd be the same feeling because I like to eat. That's it.
So there is that emotional satisfaction, and you really are making a difference in someone's life. Well, take us back, Tara. I think it's kind of cool that you really share that you had somewhat of a traditional path, as you said, school, a job, got married, and then being involved in the business. What was the business that you and your husband or ex-husband were involved in, and why did elements of business that kind of got you hooked such that when you had to choose between job or start another business, you were like, oh, I'm going to do my own thing?
Well, it was interesting because we were in real estate and really renovating houses, you know, flipping houses that everyone talks about. And it was very lucrative in the 90s until the mid-2000s. Everyone knows when we had our recession.
Mm-hmm.
At that particular time, I was, you know, that's when we separated. And the country was going through a crisis in housing and in credit. And unfortunately, I saw so many people getting really bad advice. And, of course, I knew a lot about credit because we were selling houses. So even though I was on the end of the whole process with the final product, I knew what people needed to do at the beginning in order to get a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always had, you know, very good credit and, you know, just instinctively just did all the right things. But what happens when, you know, life interrupts? What do you... You know, I found people being miseducated. And when I was looking at going back into my profession, which is engineering, or, you know, continuing on in business, it was very easy for me to say I was at the end and now I'm going to go to the beginning because I really understood what people needed to do and how this is still the American dream to purchase a home if that is your desire. So, that was my thought process when, you know, and also we were going through a recession. I mean, people were losing jobs. So I'd rather be the mistress of my destiny than try to look for a job. And you know, I was in my 40s at the time. Oh, you're old. Excuse me? So
now, wait a minute.
That's what I said. Now, wait a minute. But, of course, I wasn't 23 anymore coming out of college.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a different time. It was definitely a different time.
Well, take us back. I mean, you mentioned that credit is sort of the beginning of the process. If people want to buy a home or want to invest in a business, how did you take sort of what you knew and package it in a way on a topic that people are kind of scared about or sometimes embarrassed about? I mean, if their credit's not great, do people want to talk to you?
Yeah, I initially started with the people I knew best and who knew me. And let me tell you, not everyone wanted to have that discussion. I remember one person saying, I don't want to know, and that was in the conversation. Now, please note, she and her husband had a very good job. I'm sure they made well over $100,000. They had the house, they had the three kids, they had the cars, they had the lifestyle. But people don't necessarily want that conversation about their relationship with their money, because it's not about how much money you make. Of course, we know it's how much money you keep, and what do you do with that?
Mm-hmm.
So, I've had people who made $20,000. Who are better stewards of their money than the person making $100,000. Because it's an emotional response. Money means different things to different people. I always think that money is to be used to get some of the things in life and you know, all that wonderful stuff, you know, travel, you know, clothes, whatever the thing is that, you know, you need money for. But ultimately, money can't give you health. Money can't give you love. Money doesn't keep life from happening, and, you know, it can't necessarily give you health, although you can be healthier with good food and good medical care and things like that. But I remember a quote by Richard Pryor in the 80s where he says, I wish I had the health of a poor man, because it did not matter how much money he had. So put money in its place, of course, but be a good steward of your money. I think it's always an important thing to remember. So that's how I first started. I would just ask anyone, can I review your credit report and for free? Because even though I knew what I knew, I didn't know if I could tell people or educate people what the problem was.
Right.
So I grew through, you know, having people allow me just let me look and let me see what I can see. And that developed, quote-unquote, my program of what I thought was important and even my pre-qualifications, because I realized I can't help everyone. It does not matter. And most importantly, my fourth pre-qualification is, do you want to help yourself? Because if you don't want to help yourself, then I definitely can't do anything for you. So it was a process. It probably took a couple years to get that process in place that it made sense to me, because that's a favorite thing I like to hear from potential clients, to say, that makes sense, because if it doesn't make sense for you, then you shouldn't do it. You really shouldn't do it.
Right.
Whatever it is. It's
right.
Not just, you know, anything in life. You shouldn't do it unless it makes sense for you. So that was important to make sure that people understood, to educate first, and then if you needed my assistance, then to move forward. But education is always the key, because I always said, literally, if we wanted to educate our populace and really becoming financially well, it would start in probably ninth grade, that people would start talking about this topic. And I know they talk about it a lot more now, but, you know, this topic has been around, like, all of forever in our lives, and it's now just finally getting the information out there when people are younger that, you know, that I know I didn't get. I was told, Fran, and it's not like I wasn't taught, but I wasn't taught exactly what to do with money. I remember my family saying, don't spend all your money. But they didn't tell me how to spend the money, just not spend all the money. They were great stewards of their money. But, you know, you're in your 20s, you're making, you know, from college a lot of money at that time, and you think it's going to always be a lot of money until you spend it. So I think everyone should come out with a financial planner, and not necessarily that you have to spend, you know, a whole lot of money on a financial planner, but you should educate yourself about your finances and your credit, and, you know, as much as possible, keep yourself out of debt.
Well, let's go back to that, because you've, in the last 2 or 3 minutes, you've really identified some very important tips and best practices, and you do workshops, you write for Essence Magazine, you're, you know, part of a group called Cafe. So you do a lot to help educate people. So let's break some of this down. In terms of best practices around preparing a financial plan and thinking about a financial strategy, what are some of the first things that people should do? Maybe not everything, but, you know, the first two or three things that they should do.
The very first thing you should do, and I want to make two things clear. I got right for Essence Magazine. I was, my ex-husband and I, we were in Essence Magazine because we were highly successful in our business. So I just want to make that straight. I always like to make things very clear. And the second thing I want to make sure people understand, I am not a financial planner. I am a business person that talks about finance, but I stay in my lane, which is credit counseling. So I have wonderful people that I refer business to at all times, because I always feel like I'm kind of the beginning, and the beginning is your budget. Is you have to write down what you spend. And if you do not, you can't just have it in your head. You have to write it down. You have to really and truly maybe take a pencil and piece of paper and write down daily what you spend, because people have habits. And we know people like their coffee and they like their favorite foods and things like that, and they have no idea what percentage of money that they're spending each month on that thing that you don't even think about anymore, because it's a habit. Just like going to work. You have it. You have a habit. You stop here. You get this, et cetera. I had one client a few years ago. She was spending almost $300 on her habit of stopping. Well, she also had another habit, which is smoking. So between the smoking and getting your daily, you know, breakfast item, she was spending $270. I remember that vividly because I could not, she could not believe how much money she was spending.
Right.
Because that was a lot of money. It was a big chunk of her monthly income, and she had to stop that because she couldn't achieve some other things that she was trying to achieve. So if a person doesn't get anything else out of our conversation tonight, You have to do a budget. Everyone needs a budget. I don't care how much money you have, because a budget keeps you on track of what you need to be doing. Just had a recent client, $5,000 net each month. Okay, that's enough to live on. Yeah, it's pretty good. $2,500 of it, she couldn't figure out what it was. I was like, well, that's a lot of money.
Oh, my goodness.
And we eventually, doing her budget, we accounted for all of it. But she had a good $1,600 that she could just put into savings and emergency fund, which she was not doing. So it's important that you write it down. But she was so busy in the midst of doing the work that she just did not move forward. I mean, she just couldn't write it down at that
that's
time.
Important
yeah.
tip.
It's,
that's an important
I
tip.
I tell you
so budgeting and writing it down.
Yes, you have to write it down. If it's And, you know, I remember a very good accountant friend of mine said years ago, it's really a spending plan because we all spend money. I don't care how little you might spend or how much, we all spend money. A budget feels like a diet, but a spending plan is exactly what you do. So you might as well, you know, write down exactly what you do. I never tell people what they can't do. I just want them to see what they do. So if you want to make a change, here's the change.
So talk a little bit about the distinction around credit counseling and when should people think about credit counseling and when do they often actually think about so the should and the actual.
Well, usually I like to really differentiate myself between credit repair and credit counseling. Because I don't believe in the repair of credit. I tell people it's a very simple process. You have to go back in the past and you know, fix what's going on. You have to be in the present and make sure everything makes sense. And then you have to build for the future. So that's number one. And usually when people are coming to me, they're going through some kind of pain. They're going through... I'm tired of living like this. They're going through, I have to make a change now or I won't be able to keep this house or I won't be able to purchase a house or I want something better for my children. That's probably one of the, for me, the thing that really lets me know that you are ready to make a change because we usually don't want our children to go through the same mistakes we went through. You know, why? I got the medal. You don't have to get this medal. So it's so true. So it's so important that people, and every once in a while I'll get someone that, either someone very young, like I had one of my son's classmates when he was 21 come to me and say, Mrs. Colquitt, how do I do this? I was so proud of him because he was only 21 and he wanted to know how to do it right from the beginning. I'm like, I know I wasn't that smart at 21. So how did you get that smart? That's great. And then every once in a while I'll get someone who, a new client came into an amount of money. And she said, before she even got it, I don't know what to do with this. And I want to make good choices. And so I'm part of her team. I'm not the only person on her team. She got a financial planner. I'm her credit counselor. She did everything right. I'm like, I admire you so much because sometimes people get a piece of money. I've seen this happen plenty of times. A piece of money, and they run. They run, and then you don't see them for X amount of time, and then they're back exactly where they were before the money.
Right.
You know, you have to. I really appreciate the people who are so proactive in doing something. And then I appreciate the people who say, you know, I'm just tired and I want to do something different. Because that's for all of us. We have to, if you want something different, you're going to have to change what you're doing. It has to happen. So when people are truly ready for change, they will make the necessary adjustments in their life to do something different. Not easy. I've never said it's easy, and that's why I call it counseling, because I never want anyone to think it's easy. But usually, mm-hmm. when I'm, you know, once I'm working with a client, they'll say, oh, well, that wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. Yeah, because the hard thing is make a decision. So once you make a decision, bam, you go forward. So I'm like, let's make a decision. And, you know, even if you decide to do nothing, my purpose is never to make you feel badly about it, because sometimes people mm-hmm. are in situations that they can't change it right now. And I'm very mm-hmm. clear on saying poor credit. Credit is not cancer. You can live with poor credit. Let's be honest. People do all the time. Mm-hmm. But if mm-hmm. you are out of that situation, if you're out of your storm, if you are financially back on your feet, why not do something to make your life easier? It does make your good credit does make your life easier. But so I'm never going to make anyone feel badly. I want people to be proactive, even proactive to know that I can't do anything right now, because time always changes things. So maybe it's not now. Right. I've had people who have heard me on the radio 2 years ago, and maybe someone 2 years from now will say, you know, I heard you. I couldn't do anything then, but now I can. That's what I want people to understand too. And to get their credit reports, because you get your free credit reports from annualcreditreport.com. That's just as important as doing your budget. You know, your budget is for every day, but you need to get your credit reports once a year, because there might even be errors on there. In fact, I just had someone in June say on my Facebook fan page, I found fraud on my credit report. And thanks so much for saying, you know, I always push to get your annual credit report. Just get it, just pull it once a year. So it's good to do that, even if you think you don't have any credit issues. You never know. There's always errors on those. Usually errors, not always, but there's a very good chance of there being errors.
Great. Well, again, you shared the importance of a budget, having it written down, having that spending plan, pulling the credit report, the importance of being ready for change and connecting yes. change with the choices that you make. And it's about adjustments and actions. Clearly, you're very, very passionate about being the credit woman. What's now I know, but I'm curious to see what you'll share with the audience. What's a favorite quote that's sort of consistent with the way that you run your business and the way that you interact with your clients?
I do have a favorite quote, and I love it so much you would think I would have it tattooed on me. It makes so much sense to me, and as we discussed before we got on here, it's by a philosopher. His name is Karl Bard, and it says, though no one can go back and make a brand new start, anyone can start from now and make a brand new ending. And that's what I want people to understand. If you're still awake right now in this moment, you are making a brand new ending in all the decisions that you're making. It never stops. I mean, there's always a reason. If we're still our eyes open tomorrow morning, there's something for us to do. And so with that, what is the ending that you really want for your life? Write that down. And then it's action steps. And if you think, I just read a wonderful book by Lisa Nichols, Abundance Now. I believe in abundance now, not in 5-10 years from now, but right now. What can you do right now to make your situation better? I'm talking about credit, but, you know, it's so many different things that go into that. So the first thing you would do is, you know, write down that budget. You might not feel comfortable. If you need help, I'm here to help you. But write down that budget, that spending plan, and then look at your credit. Get your reports from annualcreditreport.com. So important that once you know the truth, you can walk in truth and you can make good decisions financially. And I just think overall for your whole life, because people get very stressed about this. I remember there was a documentary from the 90s. And it was called Maxed Out. No, it was 2006 that I remember. 2006, Maxed Out. They were saying how, you know, America is in so much debt because the 80s were, you know, don't worry, be happy. decade, and people got too happy spending money, and then they really put that stress on themselves and made it define who they were, and it's not. It's just not the way it should be. So I want people to know there's a ethical and logical way of getting out of debt, but you first have to face it. That's the first thing.
To do the research. Well, Tara, how can people get in touch with you? I know that you're on Twitter because I've seen you tweet quite a bit, but what's your website? Where are you on Facebook? Where are you on Twitter, et cetera?
Well, my joke is I am the credit woman. And if you ever type in the credit woman, if you can't find me, you're no longer on planet Earth because I'm pretty much out there everywhere. But you can find me on Twitter as the credit woman, Facebook as the credit woman, LinkedIn as Tara Colquitt, because I don't like the LinkedIn company pages. But if you really, and my website is thecreditwoman.com. If you type in the credit woman, I promise you, if you find someone else, call me Tara Colquitt. So you really the credit woman's name. But I'm out there, and I'm here to help people. You know, I really am. And on my website, I have some FAQs. I have a pre-qualification process. Once again, I know I can't help everyone. I have a monthly newsletter where I try to impart some knowledge or some encouragement in order to move forward in your journey. There's different things out there, but you can reach me, definitely. The Credit Woman.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Tara, the time has just flown by. I'm so excited
so
that you made some time in your evening tonight. Yeah. This radio station is really all about. It's conversation, sharing of information, connecting with friends, meeting new friends, and I am very, very confident that folks have a lot of great content, had a chance to listen in to our conversation, and will have a chance to take some action, maybe by writing down their budget, their spending plan, pulling their credit report, and getting in touch with you through Facebook, Twitter, or even your website under The Credit Woman. So thank you, Tara. I wish
you
a great evening.
I appreciate you. I truly appreciate you.
My pleasure. I appreciate you. And continue to do what you do. Very important work, and you make a difference in people's lives. So continue, as I say, to be significant.
Thank you, ma'am. Good night.
You're welcome. Good night. And so, folks, there you have it. Significant Business Results Radio, significant interviews with significant entrepreneurs. Join us next time as we continue our entrepreneurial journey.
Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders, hosted by Fran McNeil, President of Significant Business Results, LLC. Follow Significant Business Results Radio on blogtalkradio.com/significant business results.